Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into His image. Okay. Yeah, I want to make sure the guys in the sound booth have everything ready for us. Because anybody I can remember who's not here today, I'm going to be sure and send them a CD. And I kind of want to start off today by telling you how we came to Pastor Mike and I sharing. And there may be a couple of you here who've not been here since we've done this, because we haven't done a Pastor Prophet People thing in quite some time. So let me just kind of tell you the arrangement here. My prophetic motivating gift is prophetic. I speak with a prophet's voice, and that's why a lot of times I will cut right straight to the chase and not hit as I'll skip over the fluff and hit straight on the stuff. And a lot of people find that offensive, and I try not to be offensive in my prophetic voice, but I see things very black and white. There's very little gray that I see, and I just kind of tell it like it is. You know, I'm the guy that God can call on to go into the king's throne and go, "Once upon a time there was a man who had 100 sheep and a man who had one lamb." I'm that guy who God can call on to go and do that. I remember, at least from my own life, one of the biggest compliments I ever got when Pastor Mike used to be my pastor. He had gone on a missions trip to somewhere. Do you remember where that was? Nicaragua. And there was some issue with the pastors there that needed to be addressed. And I remember him saying to the church, "Boy, I wish Don had been there, because he's the only one who could have said it and got away with it." But I come at the scriptures from a very prophetic view. Pastor Mike comes at the scriptures and with dealing with people from a pastor's heart. He is much more shepherd oriented, much more mercy motivated. What you need to do is you go see him first and get all your tears out and your crying and your whining and everything. And then when he's patted you on the back and made you feel better, you come see me and I'll tell you how not getting that mess again. But we respect each other's motivational gifts and work in harmony in order to balance our ministry to the church. And so this kind of presentation is what we call the prophet, the pastor, and the people. And generally the way we've been doing it is one of us will start off with just a few minutes of kind of giving you an outline of what we want to share about, and then the other one will talk, and then we kind of open it up for the floor for questions and try to move to something specific you're trying to do. I do want to say to you that it is important who speaks to you spiritually. It is important who speaks to you spiritually. Now, there can be spiritual people who can speak to you and it not be important. But if you are submitting your life to any kind of spiritual authority, or if you are going to heed the advice of someone on spiritual things, it is very important that you know who it is that's talking to you. Because people can kill your spirit speaking words to you. And we have to protect our spirit, because there is such a thing. The reason why Jesus said watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing is because there are wolves in sheep's clothing. And not everyone who says not everyone who's ordained, not everyone who preaches, not everyone who's on TV, not everyone who stands behind a pulpit, not everyone who says I'm called of God is actually called of God. Not everyone. And one of the things that some people find frustrating about me is that I don't go around saying I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. The biggest part of the people that I work with during the week do not know that I pastor a church. And there are people who that bothers them. They're like, "Are you embarrassed?" I'm like, "No. They know that I'm a Christian. They just don't know I'm a pastor." And see, what happens is that most pastors can't make that distinction. Their Christianity is based in the fact that they are a pastor. I'm going to tell you what, there are going to be a lot of preachers in hell. A lot of them in hell who will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not preach sermons and take communion? And did we not serve communion? And did we not, you know, have big churches?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And I make a very clear distinction between what I do and who I am. Because you see, who I am was not affected by what I do. If this church imploded today and I never spoke another sermon, I'd still be God's child. But man, when they come through that door with their pastor belt buckles on and big crosses around their neck, and this is what really gets me, and that air of arrogance. I'm like, you're not who you think you are. Trust me. Trust me. God's still having to do some cleaning up work. Anyway, why'd I get off on that? Because that's one of my big soapboxes. That's why. But it is important who speaks to you spiritually. This past week, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas. I wasn't traveling around doing my training class like I normally do. I went to Little Rock because that's where our home office is. And I was in a meeting with the CFO, which stands for Chief Financial Officer, the COO, which is Chief Operating Officer. I'm talking about real high-level officers in our company, came to address our little small group of about 25 people when we were down in Arkansas this week. And I'm not going to get into all of this because it's really more than we need to talk about, but last fall, our company made a decision and we wound up firing about 40 people that we had been hired, that we had hired and trained. They made some adjustments where some people who were making money all of a sudden started losing money. Some of our sales reps quit. And you know, there was a lot of turmoil that went on for actually close to 4 months in the organization that I work with within the company that I work for. We went through a very difficult time. And in retrospect, this past week, they went back to and they said, guys, we want to tell you why we made the decisions we made. And once they started putting the charts up and showing how we were doing things the wrong way and some corrections need to be made, it made perfectly good sense to me why we made the decisions last fall that we made as a company. Hearing these people come in on real high levels and say to us, you know, that financially as a company we're doing very well, you guys as a group have well exceeded our expectations. The first night we were there, we flew in, went to the airport, and then walked out of the motel across the parking lot and over to a place called P.F. Chang's to have dinner. P.F. Chang's is a Chinese restaurant I've been wanting to go to forever because I heard about how great it is. Fried rice is fried rice is fried rice. I don't care if you get it at a $5.99 buffet or if you get it at a $15.99 handful on a little fried rice is still fried rice. So anyway, I was not impressed with P.F. Chang's. But a man started coming towards me, obviously wanting to speak to me, and this was the very first night I was there. This guy is my boss's 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 boss, 4 levels up from me, and introduced himself, and he said, I understand you're Don Hall. And I said, guilty as charged. He said, I just wanted to come over and tell you, you are doing a fantastic job. And we appreciate what it is you're doing and the sacrifices that you're making in order to make this channel successful. Well, what did that do for me? I was like, not a problem, sir. Glad to do it. And who are you again? I mean, it was just, and the whole week, I told Michelle, the whole week was an entire week of affirmation, not only for us as a channel within this bigger company, because we got 10,000 employees and my group only takes up 121. Okay, but we generate 39% of our company's revenue. 121 people out of 10,000 generate 39% of our revenue. Well, of course, our chests were, yeah, that's us. Yeah, not a problem, that's us. But there was a lot of affirmation for my job and for me personally and what I'm doing. And then I listening to all these people talk about how healthy our company is and the things that we're going to be doing in 2011 to make our company even more healthy. I left there when it was all done and over with on Thursday. I left there feeling really good, not only about my job, but about my future, but about the company that I work for and my part of the plan. And I thought to myself, man, I would love to transfer this feeling to my people at the church. So I called Mike, so I was going to call Mike on Friday and talk to him about doing a PPP, Pastor Prophet People, and just giving you some oversight from our perspective of things that are going on in the fellowship and what we see as our future and our vision. Well, Thursday night, I woke up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and today's sermon title was there in my head, Faith, Foolishness, and the Future. faith, foolishness, and the future. And so the next morning as I was at the airport, I called Pastor Mike and I was telling him about it. And then he told me something that if he chooses, he can tell you about later. But I was telling him about what it was I wanted to do today. No. I think you started telling me about what happened to you. And I said, that goes right in line with what I was calling you about. I want to Sunday talk about faith, foolishness, and the future. And then when I hung up talking to him, I went over and I spoke to my boss for a few minutes, and then I meandered away from him, and I called Michelle. And I'm sitting in the airport on this seat, and I'm leaning over like this, and I got my phone in this hand, and I have my hand like this, because I'm trying to carry on this conversation with Michelle without anybody else hearing. But I'm looking down, and I'm talking to Michelle, and all of a sudden I hear this voice go, "Excuse me, sir." And I look up, and there's a man standing, grown man, not like a child or anything, grown man standing right straight in front of me. He said to me, "Sir, I want to apologize." He said, "I just came through TSA." I'm thinking, "What? What's going on here?" He said, "I just came through TSA." And he said, "I'm getting ready to walk down here to where I got to load my plane." He said, "But I just heard what you said on the phone about faith, foolishness, and the future." He said, "I apologize for overhearing your conversation." He said, "But I just want to tell you that just blessed my heart." He said, "Do you mind if I shake your hand?" I said, "No, sir, I don't mind at all." Stuck my hand out there and shook this guy's hand. He went on, "I guess we'll meet in eternity. I don't know." But this is what he overheard me say. Our futures are born in faith. And when you take a step in faith, all the foolishness in the world will start jumping up trying to keep you from your future. But if you'll stay faithful through the foolishness, the future that faith promised you can be yours. If you'll stay faithful through the foolishness, you can have the future that faith has promised you. It's important, as I mentioned already, as to who speaks to you. And I might even would highly recommend that if you have a computer, you might want to go back, you might want to go to the church website and re-listen. And if you don't have access to it, you let me know and I'll get you a copy, a CD copy. We might want to be a good idea to go back and listen to the first Sunday sermon of this year. Because the first Sunday of this year, I preached a sermon called 2011, the Year of Change. My heavens. We're only 10 weeks in. Yeah. And look at how much change there has already been. Okay. When you get ready to talk, I'll make sure you're on. Look at how much change there's already been. Because I said to you on that first Sunday, I'm speaking to you today from a prophetic voice. Let me also say something about that. I don't glory in that or even want it. I don't want to be a prophet. But it wasn't like God said, "Okay, son, what do you want to do?" And I know that there are people who, "I'm a prophet. I'm going to speak a word." Okay. Those people are spooky. Okay? Because I think that if you're going to stand up and say, "I speak for God," you better be sure you're speaking for God. Or you are cursing yourself big time. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word I wanted to use next. Yeah, big time. I think that's a dangerous place to play. But I stood here before you in first Sunday of 2011 and said, "This is going to be your change." 2 or 3 weeks ago, Mike was telling me about his friend when his friend Don was here. And I don't remember the incident where one of the Mideast countries got overthrown because of the protest. Egypt, I guess it was. Yeah, Egypt, because Saudi Arabia shot their people. Egypt got thrown. And I said then, I said, "Guys, listen to me. For as disturbing as all this is, you hadn't seen nothing yet." Well, in 2 weeks, look what's going on. You got Japan. I was in the airport Friday watching a TV monitor as President Obama was delivering the information about us being part of a coalition force to enforce a no-fly zone over Libya. And I went back and sat down beside my boss, and he goes, "What was on the TV?" I said, "Virtually, we just declared war on Libya." I said, "Virtually, that's what we did." Well, if you've listened to the news this morning, we just shot 150 bombs at them and just totally destroyed their entire air force and flew over and just... And what was amazing was we sent 114 Patriot missiles that it takes them 2 hours to leave the plane, fly, and hit their target. And we can hit a target with a missile that it takes 2 hours for this missile. You know, the missile's not doing 35 miles an hour. You know, I mean, I don't know how fast they go, but it takes that plane, that ship is so far away that it can shoot that missile. It traveled 2 hours and hit a target inside of Libya like hitting a gnat in the middle of a bullseye. I mean, I'm like, that's just unbelievable to me. Okay. But Friday I said to my boss, "We just virtually declared war," and Saturday we started bombing them. Started bombing Libya. I mean, and I'm going to tell you right now, speaking prophetically, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? I mean, the food in Japan is being poisoned by a nuclear fallout. Radioactivity is hitting California. I mean, at this point, it may not be bad enough to be of a problem. But I'm going to tell you something about nuclear fallout. You don't find out how bad it is till 30 years later. You know, that's the problem right there. And I'm just telling you right now, the world is convulsing in anxious anticipation of the return of Christ. And what that's going to do is bring the loonies out. Last night, Michelle and I were riding home from dinner, and I said, "Oh, by the way, I want to show you a billboard." There's a billboard right outside of Monroe. It's put up by an organization called WeCanKnow.com. They are declaring May 12th, May 21st. They are declaring that Jesus is coming on May 21st, 2011. I mean, they got it down to a date. May 21st, 2011, Jesus is coming. Get ready. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, because you see, this is what I don't understand. I don't understand the churches that put up a sign that say, "Prepare to meet your God." Why is he mad? Why do I have to prepare to meet my God like as if I need to be afraid of him? When what he did was he stretched his arms out, died on Calvary's cross to prepare me to meet him. And I just despise those churches that try to scare the hell out of people to get them into heaven. Jesus didn't use that tactic. If Jesus doesn't use that tactic, I'm not going to use that tactic. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Not to scare people out of hell and into heaven, but to love people into the kingdom. And for as much as this makes good common sense, it's amazing how many people for whom this doesn't make good common sense. Absolutely amazing. So, I kind of wanted to share with you what it is that we are trying to aim to do here today. To inform you, number one, that we're aware of things that are going on. To let you know about what's going on. And to let you know why we believe it's happening and what we believe our future holds for us. Your turn. Let me make sure your microphone's on.
It is.
Oh, okay, good.
I think, like most folks, you know, I've personally been under extreme attack, it seems, is from many, many different angles. And, you know, after a while, when so many things go wrong, it no longer gets frustrating. It almost gets funny. And it's really interesting, the song you played, because it's really where we are.
Yep.
We're right in the middle of nitty-natty things are making everything else become major. And the major things are just so far beyond what we can think. We just kind of like, whatever, you know, our brains have gone tilt. And 2 weeks ago, my car got run into sitting in on the street. I wasn't even in it. And so last 2 weeks, my car was in the shop. So I was driving a rental car that had XM radio, and I could hear that. I heard that song. And every time I'd hear that song, I think, man, that's, you know, this is right where I am. All these little irritating things. And, you know, it's just seems like then you start thinking about the bigger things. You know, last week when I preached, you know, I talked about a lot about the bigger things that are going on and how scary it is in reality of what's happening in the world and in our society and the things that are going on. It's like you almost don't want to turn on the news because you don't want to find out what's going on. But that yet, if you want to be smart and prepared, you better find out what's going on. And so it's just, you know, you gotta bring, get yourself in a place. And it was funny because last week after I ministered, I think it was Monday morning, Pastor called me and we were talking and he said, I got a feeling that you feel like you didn't do such a good job yesterday. And I said, yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And he says, well, you know, and he encouraged me and affirmed me. And said, you know, it was really fine, and he really liked the illustration of the keys to the kingdom, and so that made me feel better, and that kind of thing. But anyway, long story short, there was lots of things weighing. Well, during this time, I was driving Dan's car, and he's got in his CD player sermons that we've been preaching since he's been coming here. It's either me or Pastor. And when I got in his car one day, and I was driving it, the sermon that I preached on the seven Hebrew words for praise came up, and I thought, well, I guess I'll listen to this. And I was going to be in the car for a while, so I listened to the sermon. And I was listening. It was funny that I'm listening to me preach, and I'm getting preached to. And
that's the way it works.
That's the way it works. But I was listening to the word, and I was listening to the things that were being said. And at one point, I heard myself say, the greatest vision that our pastor has for this church, the greatest part of the vision that he has for this church, and he has since I've been coming here, is that we would have a manifested presence of God. That God himself would show up in this place in such a way that we would know that we're in the presence of God in a tangible, maybe even audible way. God himself would show up. And I heard myself say that, and then I thought, boy, it seems like, you know, people have been leaving left and right and losing this one, losing that one, and wonder where this one is and wonder where that one is and what's going on here and what's going on there. And I heard, just as sure as you're hearing me, I heard these words, do you trust me? And as I've said many, many, many times, when God asks you a question, it's not because he needs the information. And I said, Lord, if you're asking me if I trust you, obviously there's a problem here of my trust. And I got to thinking about the biggest picture of all the things that have happened in the last several weeks, personally, nationally, churchly,
globally,
of all the things that are going on, that God's speaking to each of us and saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And I got to thinking about, in that sermon, I talked very much about the cave, David being in the cave of Adullam with 400 men. The Bible says that the 400 men that were in this cave, and they were running from the king, King Saul, who was out to kill David for no other reason than the fact that he was jealous. And David gets in this cave, and he's with 400 men. And the Bible says that those 400 men were distressed, depressed, and in debt. And I began to meditate on that and think about that sermon and hear that sermon about the fact that David's in this cave with 400 men. They're all distressed, they're all in debt, and they're all depressed. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know, Lord, I can't imagine that this is where David was, and in the midst of this, he wrote these words. I don't know if you know these words, but I want to read them. This is what David wrote. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
That's exactly right.
And so when I begin to reread this, I begin to think, well, if I'm forgetting his benefits, what am I remembering, or what am I meditating on, or what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about the circumstances. I'm thinking about the situations. I'm thinking about the things gone wrong. I'm thinking about what's happening in the government and in the world system and the money and the this and the that. But you see, I can say in the midst of what's going on, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. When I'm standing here for praise and worship, y'all, all I'm thinking about is everything that I've got needs to praise him, needs to worship him, needs to honor him, needs to give him glory. Do not be moved by what I'm seeing. Do not be moved by what I'm sensing. Do not be moved by what some people are hearing. Do not be moved by what it seems like. Because God said that this is going to be a year of change. And guess what's happening? Change. Now you and I have to decide, am I going to be moved? Am I going to let an offense take me out? Am I going to let a disagreement take me out? Am I going to let somebody take me out? Or am I going to stand in the midst of change? Forget not all his benefits. Then listen to this. Who forgives all your iniquities. I mean, he's with 400 men that don't know what's going to happen, don't know where we're going, don't know why things are the way they are, why it looks so bad. As a matter of fact, it doesn't look like it's ever going to change. And he's saying, I'm not going to forget his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. Look at this. Who heals all your diseases. It's either true or it's not.
That's exactly right.
I believe it is. Who redeems your life from destruction. Mike, do you trust me? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I begin to meditate these things and say, you know, Lord, you said, you put in my pastor's heart a desire for a manifested presence of your glory. For a manifested presence of you, that you would show up in such a way that everybody here will know. And I said, I don't understand why there seems to be whatever's going on. But I said, Lord, all I know is in the midst of this, we're going to trust you. We're going to believe you. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Foolishness is going on. But if we'll hang in, y'all, we're going to see the future. And the future in this place is going to be a manifested presence of God. And if you doubt that this morning, you're probably in the wrong place. You're probably with the wrong people. Because God's going to show up. He said where two or more will agree on one thing. He said, guess what? I'll do it. I'm agreeing.
Uh-huh.
I'm agreeing. And y'all, finances may look whatever. Parking lot may look whatever. Seats may look empty. But if there's two or three of us agreeing, and when God shows up, we don't have a big enough building. We don't have a big enough parking lot. And it's probably going to happen in such a way that the pastor, the prophet, and the people can only look back and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Had nothing to do with me. Had nothing to do with him. has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with the one who wants to show up in our midst. And I think he's preparing a place that he can do it. And when he does, y'all, we're going to understand in a reality like never before that our iniquities are forgiven and that our diseases are healed and that we're surrounded with loving kindness and tender mercy like we've never experienced before. And we're going to carry that with us out these doors to a lost and dying world that's not looking for a religious place to be on Sunday morning. Right. That's looking for a place where God is showing up. And that's all that matters.
Right. That's right.
How you dress, what you look like, where you are economically. It does not matter. What matters is God's here.
That's right.
God's here. That's where we're headed. Psalms 103, read it every day this week, the whole thing. It'll change your life. That's what was going on in the mind of this great man who God called a friend. With this great man who God said, he's got his heart after me, Psalms 103. And you and I can, in the midst of everything, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, I'm not moved by my car getting hit. I'm not moved because Social Security didn't get me my card so that I could take my test yesterday. And I lost $101 because I couldn't take my state exam. I'm not moved because my bills are coming and there's no money to pay them. I'm not moved because unemployment says you're at the end of your rope here. I'm not moved by those things because those things are not my source. He is. And y'all, it's either true or it's not. I choose to believe by faith. Therefore, I have a future.
That's exactly right. So I think that from here, you can detect that the leadership is in harmony with each other. And I wrote down the word but you covered it for me. Because almost every time we begin to talk this way, there are those who want to say, but what about? And I'll tell you something. One of the reasons why pastors distance themselves, I'm going to give you a little secret here, okay? One of the reasons why pastors distance themselves from their people is because pastors don't have all the answers and don't want you to know they don't have all the answers. But I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't have all the answers. You can ask me buts all day long, and for 99% of them, I'm going to say, I don't know. But what are we going to do about our finances? I don't know. What are we going to be making on finances? I don't know. Well, what are we going to do? I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do know. There's a God in heaven. And I know He's in charge. And I know in fact, this morning, I was looking through a little magazine and I saw this, and I'm going to order this sign. I might order me a dozen of them. Here, I saw this sign in a little magazine this morning. It said this: Jesus knows me, this I love. How good is that? Jesus knows me, this I love. That I know. You know, I don't know what we're going to do about this or that or the other thing. I don't know. But this I know. Jesus loves me. This I know. This is what makes me excited. I know that there's still a God in heaven. I know He's still in control. I know that not anything that will happen today, tomorrow, next week, or the week after is going to catch Him by surprise. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to touch the hem of His garment. And I'm going to let flow whatever lets flow. Because I know that that's who God is.
And let me say this to stir your faith. Isn't it amazing that pastor can put a list on the wall and say, this is what we're believing God for? And quicker than we can turn around, things began to show up. Boom, boom, boom. The money for the paint, the money for the new mic. Boom, boom, boom. And the crowds get smaller and smaller, but the needs are being met. You know, when I was coming through school, being schooled about faith, this is what they taught us. If you need faith for healing, read examples and get yourself around people who God has healed. Speak about situations and circumstances where God has healed. If someone calls you and says they want you to come and pray for healing, when you go, give them examples when you know that God healed somebody, because it'll build your faith. You need finances? Get around people who've believed God and have seen the results. Because when you begin to see the work of God, then you begin to have faith in God. So the very examples of we need this. And then a week later, well, we can cross this off the list. And fewer people, guess what? God's still meeting our needs. Because he's the source. Y'all, it hurts when you think about individuals. It's depressing when your heart misses a brother and sister and you don't understand and you don't know. But I want you to understand something, y'all. If you try to find out, all it'll do is bring doubt and disbelief. Because I don't know. It hurts. But all it brings is doubt and disbelief. And right now, we got to stay in faith for our future, because the foolishness will get us out of it, and the foolishness will pull us away, and we'll miss the move of God. We have to make up our mind. Are we going to stay in faith for the future? Are we going to get in faith and let foolishness turn us around? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But how, that's a miracle right there. I brought a little Ishmael.
Oh, that's funny.
I brought a little Ishmael, and it sat right over there looking ugly for a couple of days. And God said, I've got an Isaac for you. It's bigger and it's better. That's the God we serve, y'all. That's the God we serve. And there's not a thing he's put up there. Now watch. You watch and see. There'll be a day somebody will hand this man a check for $500,000. You mark my word.
Mm-hmm. Tell me to build a building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm praying it'll be me. You ought to pray it'll be you. Because if that's our tithe, guess what we got in the bank? Hallelujah. Woo! If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. That's all I got to say. Woo! Lord, I might run around this house. Whatever it takes. Because there's not a thing he's put up there we hadn't seen come in yet. Well, there's a couple of things that he's added recently, but watch and see.
Just give him more time.
Watch and see. Because every time he's done it, the need's been met. So you see, we have something to hold on to when our faith wants to waver. Well, look at who's not here. Look at the empty seats. Look at the empty parking lot. This morning, it was slow going, getting folk into church this morning. I thought time changed lapsed a week for some folks, because it was like, you know, they were slim pickings here this morning for a while. But you guys showed up. Thank you, Jesus. But see, we can't be moved. God's giving us something to hold our faith to. You have a need, I meet it. You have a need, I meet it. You have a need, I meet it. So we cannot let the foolishness keep us from our future.
Rob us of our future. Anyone have a question you want to ask? All right, then I'll conclude this morning by saying this. Then let's talk about the future for a second. Long range. The desire of my heart is to see God face to face this side of eternity. That's the desire of my heart. Just flat out, no fluff, no stuff, that's it. When he appeared between the wings of the cherubim and the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies, and he hollered out to Moses, who was out in the desert, hey, come in here where I am. And Moses walked right through the outer court and the inner court and straight into the Holy of Holies, and there God was, right smack dab in front of Moses. He said, yes, sir, you call me? And God said, yes, I did. This is what I want you to do. That's what I'm looking for right there. I'm not talking about goosebumps. I'm not talking about I feel good. I'm not talking about running around church. Although you can have your goosebumps, you can feel good, and you can run around church. That's fine. Yeah, you can have all that. Okay? I'm not saying excluding that. What I'm saying is I've had all that. What I'm looking for is this. This is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, I remember many a time when my daddy would call me up and he would stand. In fact, I'll do it with you, Mike. Here, let me have your Bible, man. Stand up and just put your hands down by your side like this and stand still. Okay, we'll turn sideways so these people can see you, okay? Many a time my daddy has called me up and he said, this is what we're looking for with God. We're going to take this toe and we're going to put it right there. And we're going to take this toe and we're going to put it right there. We're going to put this belly right here. And that's what I'm looking for right there. And I've stood just like that with my daddy many a time right in this very room where my daddy looked at me right square in the eye, toe to toe, belly to belly, big nose to big nose, right there. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I want to see God just like that. Look at him right square in the eye, him looking me in the eye, me looking him in the eye. Because it's all about relationship. You know, there's a face sitting right here on the front pew that I love to be in that face. Why? Because I love that woman. So I'm all up in her face first thing in the morning, last thing at night, and as much as I can get away with during the day. Because see, that's what love does. See, now we can talk about it and have our little goosebumps and raise our little hands and feel good because we come and, what was the expression? Paid my dues. Punch my ticket. We can come and punch our ticket. Say, well, I've been to church. Okay, I did my duty. Ching. You know, I gave my 1%. Ching. You know, we can come and punch our tickets and say we're done. Or we can stand toe to toe, belly to belly, nose to nose, look him square in the eye. Long term vision, guy. That's what I'm looking for right there. This is what I'm believing God for. Is that between now and the time that He splits the eastern sky, that in preparation for the splitting of the eastern sky, He will step over on this side and He will say, I love you. Now, how are we going to get there? All right. I can give you that too. The Word and worship. The Word and worship. Worship prepares that place for Him to come in and stand in. And the Word helps us to determine what's real from what's false. Because the Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be prophets. There's going to be teachers. They would even fool the very elect of God if it was not for God giving us that spirit of discernment. And how do we know what's real from what's fake? It's like I've heard Ruth Graham tell the story about going to the Treasury Department one time. And they were talking about counterfeits. And she was under the assumption that how you learn about counterfeits is by looking at counterfeits. They told her, they said, oh, no, ma'am, that's not it at all. She said, how we train tellers here at the National Reserve to spot a counterfeit is we show them what the real thing looks like. They get so used to touching, feeling, and looking at the real thing that when the false thing comes along, they go, whoop, that just don't look right. And you spot the false thing by knowing what the real thing looks like. Y'all never heard that story before?
Nope.
Okay. That's a great story Ruth Graham used to tell when she was alive. And that's what I'm saying. That's why the Word is so important. Because we have a misconception of who and what Jesus is actually like. But you know what? There's no misconception in His Word. It'll tell you exactly what He's like. What he says is, I'm not the kind that when the reed is smoking, I come along and put my foot on it and snuff it out. He said, I'm not like that. But yet I've heard preachers tell me that God is the God to be feared. When He said, no, I'm not like that at all. I don't see the smoking reed and just crush it. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost, and God knows I am lost. He came to seek and to save me. We're going to concentrate on worship. We're going to concentrate on the Word. We're going to create that place where God can come and express Himself to us in whatever way He chooses to. Because, you know, now if you want to be any more specific than that, I'm going to say, I got no direction. I can't be any more specific than that. I can't really answer any more questions than that. But I just know that when I make a decision, I'm making a decision based on what's best for the Word, what's best for the worship. What's best for the Word, what's best for the worship. What's best for the Word, what's best for the worship. Not what's best for you. Sorry. Not what's best for me. Sorry. What's best for the Word, what's best for the worship. What's best for the Word, what's best for the worship. That's what we're going to make a decision on. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of people are not happy with that. But it's about relationship, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about religion. And it's only religion that is unhappy when their focus is off of them and on something other than them, no matter what it happens to be. I've had all the religion I care to have.
Yes.
I'm ready for some relationships. Yes, I believe that too. And thank you. I believe the Lord is saying that same thing. And that gets back to what Pastor Mike was sharing last week. You see, I can't tell you how we're going to get where we're going because it's a walk. It's not a picture. Say, it's here in the Spirit. Here it is. It's not a map in the Spirit. Okay? You are here. And there's a little X. You know, and God is here. And here's another little mark. Here's how you get from here. No. It's a walk. And I take a step, and then I take a step, and then I take a step, and then I take a step. And that's how I get from where I am to where I want to be, just simply one step at a time. Anyone else?
Well, I thought Judah just said, as I was sitting here and you were speaking, this is what I heard. God doesn't give a vision that He doesn't desire way above what our desire could be.
Yes, that's true too.
And when God put that vision in him, that for him to desire for a face-to-face experience with God, God's saying to us, He wants it more than we could ever even imagine.
Exactly.
God wants to be face-to-face with you.
Enough so that He gave Himself at Calvary in order for it to be accomplished. That He took His hands and He tore the veil from the top to the bottom. He rent the old, says new one, so that we might be toe-to-toe, belly-to-belly, and nose-to-nose, one with another. Is that a frightening prospect? You better be. Is it a holy prospect? Yes, it is. But is it a worthy goal? It's a goal worth dying for. God, we give You honor and glory today in this place. I pray, God, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that Your people who are remaining would be encouraged. That the people for whom I'll send the CD to this week, that they will feel the sense of Your Spirit that is in this room right now. And that their hearts would be encouraged. God, for those who, for whatever reason, left out of disobedience to You, God, the same door that let them out is the same door that lets them back in. We harbor absolutely no unforgiveness, no hurt, no pain against any one. Father, we bless everybody.
Yes.
In Your name. We bless everybody in Your name. Harbor no hate, no unforgiveness, nothing towards anybody. Because that's how You treat us. That's how we want to treat everybody. We love with the love with which we've been loved. But Father, for those who are holding down the fort, sometimes we feel like we've been shelled from the sky. God, put a no-fly zone over us. Guard us and protect us, O God. Give us the strength when the enemy endeavors to cause doubt to come up. Give us the strength to fight our way through. Help us, God, to always have our eyes on the source and the solution rather than on the problem. And we will forever and in eternity give You honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.